ನಾರಾಯಣದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ ದಿ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಿನ್ಸಿಪಲ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ವೇದಿಕ ದಾರಾಶ್ವತಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ಬೃಂದಿಗೆ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೌರ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಶ್ಯಾಮಕುಂದ ರಾಧಪತಿ ಗಿರಿ ಗೌರಧಾಮ್ ಕಿ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ವೃಂದಾವನ ಧಾಮ್ ಕಿ ಜಯ ನವಗಾಮ್ ಕಿ ಜಯ ಗಂಗಸುಮನ ತುಳಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಕಿ ಜಯ ಅನಂತ ಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ಸಮವೆತ್ತ ಭಕ್ತ ಬೃಂದಿಗೆ ಜಯ ಭಕ್ತಿ Glory to some of the bodies, all glory to some of the bodies, all glory to some of the bodies, all glory to the Guru, glory to the Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Prasadane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatare Prasadane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Vaitika Dada Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Read from Canto 7 of Srimad Bhagavatam Chapter 7 Verse 16 Tattu Kalasya Dirgatva
Tattu Kalasya Dirgatva
Sri Padmatos Tirodate
Sri Padmatos Tirodate
Rishi Nanu Grahita Mam
Rishi Nanu Grahita Mam
Anadu Navkhaja Hak Smriti
Anadu Navkhaja Hak
Smriti
Tattu Kalasya Dirgatva sage Narada blessed me, and therefore I could not forget them. Purport in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Mam hi parta vipashata yedi supapayona nastriya vaisis dasudras tepi yanti parama gatim. O son of Krita, those who take shelter of me, though they be low-born women, Vaishyas, for Sudras can approach the supreme destination. The word papa only refers to those who are less than Sudras. But even though a woman may not be a papa yoni, because of being less intelligent, sometimes forgets devotional instructions. For those who are strong enough, however, there's no question of forgetting. Women are generally attached to material enjoyment because of this tendency to sometimes forget devotional instructions. But if even a woman practices devotional service strictly according to the rules and regulations, the statement by the Lord himself that she can return to Godhead is not at all astonishing. One must take shelter of the Lord and rigidly follow the rules and regulations. Then, regardless of what one is, one will return home to Godhead. Prahlad Maharaj's mother was more concerned with protecting the child of the womb and was very anxious to see her husband return. Therefore, she could not consider very seriously the sublime instructions of Narada Muni. Translation: because of the long duration of time that had passed and because of her being a woman, therefore less intelligent, my mother has forgotten all these instructions, but the great sage Narada blessed me, and therefore I could not forget them. So, though the mother of Prahlad and Prahlad both got the instructions and mercy of Narada Muni, we see that afterwards it was Prahlad who became famous as a devotee. We don't hear about the mother. Huh? She did not preach to the demon children. She did not preach to her husband or anything like that. So, why is that? Why Prahlad was able to keep the instructions and teach them to others, and the mother did not? Because Narada Muni was merciful to both of them. So, here one explanation is given. The first thing, of course, is a long time had passed. Now, of course, a long time had passed in any case for both of them, because the same time that she endured for many years, Prahlad also endured for many years, and in fact, he was in the womb. So in itself, that is not such a time itself is not the problem. But Prabhupada explains in the purport that she was very concerned about the return of her husband over that period of time, so therefore she was not very attentive, and therefore she could not absorb those instructions too much because of the long period of time of separation from the husband. So in other words, that attachment to the husband created a distraction for her, and therefore she was not as attentive as she should have been. And another reason is given here is her being a woman, the street talk. Because of being a woman, therefore, she did not remember. Which shows that even though she got the mercy, and even though probably to some degree she accepted and whatever, her intelligence and determination, etc., were not as strong as those of a man. That is, Prahlad, even though he was a child, somehow or other, the nature of the woman was such that her determination, strength, etc., to follow through with those instructions and take them and implement them, etc., was not as strong. So in other words, this indicates some sort of physical difference between the mental, physical difference between the man and the woman. And because if she was a woman, therefore she did not, was not able to absorb those instructions to the same degree. Of course, we see that Prabhupada in the purport also makes some exception that if we are devotees, then definitely we don't give such regard for the bodies and the man or the woman or whatever one takes the devotional service or whatever. Still, we see that she also had the opportunity, but nevertheless, because of the nature of being a woman, therefore, she did not absorb the instructions to the same degree as Prahlad, even though he was an infant in the womb, etc. So, for these reasons, therefore, she did not continue with devotion afterwards, and she's not famous as a great devotee, whereas Prahlad never forgot the instructions. He was very strong in his convictions. He preached to the children of the Asuras, and throughout his life he was a great devotee of the Supreme Lord. So of course, one is special blessings of the Lord because he is a special person. Another because he was male. He was a man. And therefore, his determination was stronger, even though equally they got hard on his mercy. So, therefore, it implies here that there is some sort of advantage for the man in terms of even developing bhakti. Because they both equally got the mercy of Narada Muni, so to speak. But we see that Narada Muni also had some special favor for Prahlad, because there's some special person in the womb. So it was also another advantage of Prahlad that he was actually not just an ordinary person to begin with. He was highly qualified. So that's another thing there. Not just that because he was a man and she was a woman, he advanced. No, he also had some previous devotional qualities. It is also explained, of course, that in one sense, though Prahlad plays the role of a sadaka, he's actually a nitya-siddha also. So therefore, in that sense, we can't think of him as a normal child. So therefore, it is natural that he would take to the instructions and develop, etc. So therefore, it's not simply that women advance less than men, but he also had advantage of being in a special position as a devotee designated by the Supreme Lord himself. So therefore, he becomes famous as a devotee. So, in any case, what we can learn from this is that not all of them, but men also can forget the instructions. She forgot the instructions of Narada Muni, who's a Shakti Vaishavatar of the Lord. By his instructions, Murgari the hunter got bhava in 3 months, even though he was less than a sudra. But by the mercy of Narada, he got bhava in 3 months. So, in other cases, of course, we see that people don't get the mercy, so he or she didn't somehow or other. So, not only women, but men also, if they are not so qualified, even if they get mercy, they may not advance so quickly. So, therefore, mercy is one thing, but then previous activities, Ajata Sukruti's or previous devotional activities of a devotee in previous lifetimes also was a consideration how a person is going to advance in this lifetime. And some people can advance more quickly and easier because of previous activities. Others find more difficult because it is new. So there's these factors to consider also in terms of advancement. So in the stage of sadhana, there can be impediments such that one can forget the instructions or not implement the instructions properly. And that we see here in the case of the mother. Somehow she could not keep everything in her mind properly and implement properly. So devotees at the sadhana stage may have problems also. These are called anarthas. Anarthas means that which is not artha. Artha means that which is valuable and the goal. And these are things which are secondary and distracting for a person. It's anartha. In the case of the mother, her anartha was, she was always thinking of the husband, when's my husband going to return? And therefore, she could not concentrate on Narada Muni's instructions. In other words, her attraction to material things was much more than Prahlad's. In spite of the fact of Narada Muni's mercy, still, she could not advance to the same degree. So, people in general also may be of this category. Though they get the mercy of devotees, still, they do not advance so quickly because they have strong material attractions. Therefore, as I said, one of the qualifications for bhakti to develop is not too much attached to material things. where there's too much attachment, it is very difficult to practice devotional service, even if one has faith, it is still. Nevertheless, a chance is given to everyone. So if one comes to bhakti, but one has a lots of material attachments, then the process of bhakti, if continued, will gradually eradicate those anarthas. If the material attraction is too strong, then one can stop the bhakti altogether, and therefore nothing happens. So if the material attraction is too strong, it is not so favorable for practicing sadhana. It has to be at a certain level of lowness so that one can continue practicing. Nevertheless, even if the material attractions are not too strong in the beginning, there can still be periodic disturbance due to material attraction. Not all the time, but sometimes. So devotees will usually go through a period of practice in which there is some unsteadiness, some disturbances caused by different events or whatever, and this causes them to interrupt their practice. So that is anishta, unsteadiness. So it is desirable one comes to nishta. That means steadiness, that means one practices, and though obstacles come up, that does not interrupt one's devotional activities. One still continues them, in spite of all the different circumstances. So anarthas may be there, but not to the extent that they interrupt the service and interrupt the bhakti. Before that, then there can be the anartha and vritti stage is a stage of anishta. Can be interrupted here and there by the anarthas. So, therefore, the favorable stage is to come to nishta, where one can practice steadily and the anarthas are much less, and therefore they do not cause big disturbance to interrupt the bhakti. So that is a stage that a devotee should strive for at the beginning stages, to come to that position. Then there's less chance of what happens in this case with the mother, that she went and forgot the instructions. So therefore we see that she was sincere, she served the Narada Muni, she got the mercy, she listened to the instructions, so she had faith, definitely, and she began to practice because she was listening, that's a part of bhakti, but she forgot everything, it stopped. So that means she didn't even get the nishta. It's anishta, and therefore even stopped. So, therefore anishta is not a very good stage. We may begin the practice of bhakti, but we have to at least come to anishta where it becomes permanent. We don't have to stop the process for this reason or that reason due to some material attachments. So, that can happen, but from anybody in the material world, not just women, men also. If they're at the stage of anishta, they can practice for some time and then give up the practice. So, therefore, it is very important that serious devotees, though they begin with anishta, that they come to the stage of nishta, and their practice is very, very steady in all cases. We see in the case of Prahlad, obviously he would have some great advantage, and therefore he had no struggle at all with practicing, even when he was 5 years old. So therefore he was at a very, very advanced stage, even beyond nishta. He had complete attachment to the Supreme Lord. So we cannot say he's an ordinary devotee even. So, in any case, the devotees have to be very aware of their position in devotional service, particularly people who are in the beginning stage. And they, of course, they strive for prema, but that may be too ambitious, so at least they should strive for nishta, intermediate goal they should have, and come to the stage where they practice steadily, they never interrupt their service, they fulfill their vows properly. So in the Madhurya Kadambini there, Vishwan Chakrabarty talks about the qualities, the
anishta stage. So one of the qualities is there, called vishaya sangara. Sangara means war, battle. Vishaya means material objects. So one is constantly at war with the material objects. Should I enjoy this object, enjoy that object? Never. Or should I practice bhakti? Sometimes I like to enjoy things. Sometimes I'll do some devotional service. Sometimes I'll enjoy things again. Back and forth. That's anishta. One example of anishta. Another example is tarangarangani, which means that we get things due to the process of bhakti, and then we start enjoying them, materially speaking, you know, material things, assets or whatever. Also not good. Another is yudhavikalpa, which means speculation, extensive speculation about what to do. So instead of concentrating on coming to nishta, they have some very lofty goals about attaining prema or becoming babaji or this or that or whatever, some very advanced stage, without concentrating on their practical goals. They think of something very impractical, and they keep changing their ideas from day to day about, well, what is their goal in life. So that's another thing. They can't really fix their mind on the goal properly and practically speaking. Another one is utsahamayi, overconfidence. Because they take into the process, then they think of everybody else as rascals and fools. And I'm very advanced. So they think they're more advanced than they are, even though they, of course, to become a devotee itself is a very, very great advancement. Nevertheless, they become very proud of that position in its comparison with other people. They think they've got a very high, privileged position in comparison with everybody else. So that is one. And then another symptom is gana paralata, which means concentrated and weak, basically. Which means that sometimes they're very enthusiastic to do everything, and sometimes they can't do anything. So they shift back and forth. They're very enthusiastic to do bhakti, and then they have no taste at all for bhakti. Their efforts are sporadic, irregular. Sometimes can, sometimes can't. So that's called anishta. Interrupted by lots of material distractions, lots of material attractions. So it's not a good stage. So if a devotee is like that in the beginning, then he has to practice steadily and force himself to practice, and come to the stage of nishta. If he doesn't do that, then it's very difficult to advance with all these interruptions. So by good association, then a person can actually more easily come to nishta. If other people are nishta, then he's inclined to be inspired to be at that stage of steady bhakti also. If everybody else is not caring about bhakti and distracted, then he will also not care about it. So that is why it is very important to have a good environment for devotees, with serious devotees. And those who are less serious by that association, then they become serious. It's not a big problem for them. But if they're always with the anishta devotees, then they will never advance. So therefore that association is very, very important. So of course, once one reaches nishta, then it is much easier to progress, because one has no difficulty in steadily performing bhakti. So therefore it is easier to advance to Rucchiya, Sakti, Bhava, and Prema. So therefore the immediate goal of the devotee is therefore to at least come to nishta, steadiness in devotional service.
You meant to say that
Prayadu
did not get the
nishta
bhakti when she was in the
Narada. Looks like she forgot everything, so. Looks like not. Of course, when she was in Narada Muni, she kept listening, but then as soon as he disappeared, then she also forgot everything. So, well, listening itself is a practice. Shravanam. She did Shravanam, and she is Narada Muni, is a great devotee of the Lord. Somehow or other, she didn't have so much effect on her. It looks like it. Well, of course, she didn't listen anymore because Narada Muni disappeared. So as soon as he disappeared, then she forgot everything.
How she tolerated that when her own son is going to is getting tortured by his own father and all?
Not mentioned, but anyway, obviously the father is very powerful. Can't say anything in front of Hiranyakasipu. Nobody can say anything in front of Hiranyakasipu. Whatever, we don't know.
My question is,
obviously she was not a demon because she had the respect for Narada Muni, but at the same time she could not go against her husband, just like the wives of Kaliya. They were great devotees of the Lord, but then if they have a demon husband, what could they do? Like when he attacked Krishna, they stood there, but they couldn't do anything.
At that time, there was no divorce system. There was no divorce system at that time.
No.
No
divorce.
The age of Kali,
no
divorce. It's a small problem in the family. The wife running with the child. And here, the Kali is struggling so much. Still, she's there with her husband.
Yeah. We see many examples of that. What was this? Gandhari and Dhritarashtra and so many other examples like that. Remain faithful, even the demon, the husband is demon. we don't see it mentioned. No.
This was favorable towards bhakti of Prahlada Maharaj,
that was like her father. No, she was favorable. She was listening. She was served Narada Muni, actually. So she had a tendency, but it just didn't become steady then. And when it was association with Hiranyakasipu and others, then she forgot everything. All of that is actually just lila. Just like, Krishna weeps when he sees the imitation of his father dead in the battle, in Vasal or whatever, and he laments. It's all just imitation. How to analyze the events of devotion to serve myself? Oh, how does one analyze? One has to be introspective. One has to know the process of bhakti and the stages of bhakti and the symptoms of different stages, and then one has to analyze one's own condition. That's all. What is that? Up in the past, I don't know about the present. In the past, the genetics was such that women are generally more emotional and more attached, and they like to take care of their children. In the majority.
Less intelligence in spiritual or material?
Huh?
Spiritual or material?
Well, it's material. Well, I'm saying that's in the past. You don't see many like that. It's just a modern phenomenon. But of course, we can always say that even then, there may be some weaknesses there, even if they're leading a country. They may have some weaknesses there, and somebody else has to cover up. But there's exceptional cases also, you see. I think it was a case of, she was led the battle, Samrani, in the 16th century or something, against the Muslims or something. She was leading the battle. Something like that. So there are cases, exceptional women also like that. And in the Vedas we find there were several women acharyas, Gargi acharya. She was a woman, but she was an acharya. And in the court of Vikramaditya, I think one woman was an astrologer, so she was like a Brahmani, but she was an astrologer for the king, whatever. So there's some examples also, but in general, they are more inclined to be emotional, etc., so therefore they're not trusted in those positions. In the army, I don't know if there's any women generals yet in the army, is there? Generals? Any generals? It's certain things they cannot do. Obviously, when they go to battle, they don't give them all these heavy jobs of carrying the big loads and everything, because they can't do it, physically speaking. And then emotionally also, there's certain limits on what they can do, so they don't give them all the same jobs exactly as the men are taking, the heavy jobs, you know? But that, as far as infantry is concerned, which is very, very difficult, so they just don't give them certain things to do, because generally they're going to risk everybody if they don't perform well in terms of reflexes and panicking and so many things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, that's spiritual. We're not talking about spiritual, we're talking only about material qualifications in the material world.
But you know, it's not that Brahma gives a certain body for the soul, depending upon his own qualification.
Karma?
Karma.
According to karma, one gets body, according to attachments and whatever.
So even when they get the different kinds of body, in that particular type of body, there is a difference in their achievements and other things. That is also based on the karma?
Materially. Yeah, according to the body, then they have limitations on what they can achieve in their lifetime based on the body. Oh, no, 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 so many demons. Putana. Putana, what is the one, the Ramchandra, what was the Sarpanaka? So many demons are there. Demonesses. Rakshasis.
Yarantara Sri Sri Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Vishwanatha Swami Maharaj ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.